Morning.
Morning.
Howdy there.
How are you?
Good, good. On this first day of summer.
Yes, yes, yes. I played a Christmas song this morning.
Heard that? Very good, very impressed.
Cleverly disguised as a not a Christmas song. So, what are we up to? What are we talking about today?
Families today.
Let me turn your mic up, eh?
Sure.
How's that? Good.
Yeah, families. We all have one in one shape or form, and whether solo parent, nuclear family, extended families, fungi, you know, fostered. We all come from a family. So that's what we tend to call family of origin. You know, you're born and you're raised in those early years by some form or other of family.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we form our own families later on in life. And so it's that kind of connect we're talking about today and what gives us that capacity.
Okay. Ball's in your court.
Yeah, well, one of the, come back so much to how vital the first few months and years of human life are. Mm-hmm. We're big fans of, you know, the readiness for children and the support for parents of children is ideal. It really makes a difference. And sometimes people don't get that for a lot of different reasons, and it affects the human baby and what sort of adult they're going to tend to be.
Yep.
Attachment is what we're talking about here. A baby needs to attach to another human being early on.
Yep.
In that first year. Interestingly, they don't really know. They don't know that there are other people in the world. Initially, they're just that kind of growing blob. But soon enough, they figure out that, you know, someone's close to them and other people are new and different and strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And a child who's learnt to trust their mother or their father or whoever other trusted adult will freak out when a stranger comes in. And that's kind of good.
And so are you guys being called upon to be involved in situations where there's been lack of attachment or stuff like that, or the trickle down effects of lack of attachment,
particularly through the family court,
right?
Often that's part of the issue, that the children that you see in these situations are not well connected,
right?
And well supported, and have all sorts of emotional and behavioural difficulties that are surfacing, and a real difficulty forming relationships, which is the core of why we're here. Yeah.
And that attachment, so how much can I trust my parent to be around when I'm crying? Mm. How much are they responsive? So it's the responsiveness of parents that really, that's where the magic lies.
Mm-hmm.
So that gazing into a baby's eyes, kind of breastfeeding them, one of the first crucial interactions the baby experiences, I'm hungry, I get fed.
Mm.
And I suspect, we were talking about this yesterday, I suspect that the baby may even sense that that's a good thing for a mother, that the mother then gets that relief, you know. So there's an interaction going on between two human beings there.
I don't think babies give a toss, mate.
They need to be fed.
All they are is hungry.
Yeah, yeah. But then they get fed.
Yeah. There's good vibes going down, maybe, what Patrick's trying to say.
Yeah, well, there's the body language and the language that comes through
and
eyes.
The,
and etc.
Being That's held it. And rocked and all that sort of stuff's really important.
Mm.
And I guess, you know, there are some difficulties where you're, you know, when babies are prem babies, you know, when they're in an incubator and you're not able to do some of that stuff, where perhaps the child's autistic, you know, where they naturally don't want eye contact. They find physical touch really difficult. So there's times where it's difficult for the parents. It's not kind of anything they can do about it. They just have to deal with the fact that they haven't been able to attach well when they would want to.
Right.
So,
But again, even given those issues that the individual child and the child's temperament may present for the parent, it's for the parent to seek and find, which way can I respond to this child's needs? Mm. This is the needs that the child's presenting. It's the responding to those needs. That's where the child learns to trust.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Sure.
But there's always going to be this continuum, so sometimes it doesn't work too well, and those people will tend to grow up not so trusting,
yeah,
and not so secure, and in fact quite anxious, freaked out about relationships,
yep.
Maybe go through a series of not so cool relationships.
Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, you were mentioning for families where there's been a bit of neglect there.
From the beginning?
Yeah, from the beginning, those first 3 years, particularly the first year.
And maybe unknowingly, you know, and so that's part of what we're trying to, you know, alert people and affirm that message. It is important how you look after other people. And especially
how can you unknowingly neglect a 1 or 2 year old?
It doesn't have to be cruel and malicious. Yep. It can be just lack of responsiveness.
Right.
Mm. It can be, oh, well, the baby will be right. Or I read in a book, you know, it's good to let them cry. Or, yeah, put them in front of the TV.
Just so you can get on with doing whatever rocks your boat.
Exactly. Mm. So Kay's got a nice experiment to talk about here.
Way back in the midst of time when there was probably not so much oversight from ethics committees, this guy Harlow did experiment with rhesus monkeys, baby rhesus monkeys removed from their mums. Mm. And it's quite a famous experiment. And he had a cloth mother and a wire mother. So the cloth mother had a kind of a face, a little metal face, and a nice soft cloth over it. Mm-hmm. The metal, the wire mother didn't have much of a face, no cloth, but it had food.
Right.
So a little wee nipple came out and delivered food.
Yep.
And what they found was that the little baby rhesus monkey spent most of its time with the cloth mother, snuggled with the cloth mother for comfort and security, and would sort of just lean over and feed when necessary from the wire mother. So even the wire mother was providing every nutrient for life.
Yep.
What the baby required and needed was that comfort, mm-hmm, and security, sure, from the cloth mum.
Right.
Yeah, so that was one of sort of the early experience on attachment and what's required for children. And they found that these babies, even though they'd been raised by surrogates in isolation, actually they did remarkably well when they were reintroduced to other monkeys. They certainly had some gaps. Weren't so good with rough and tumble play, were a bit aggressive, didn't have that kind of relationship thing down, but yeah, it did show really clearly that
probably dealt far better than a human child would, wouldn't they? Tend to be a bit more robust and resilient than perhaps human children are.
In that neglect situation,
you would think, but that's a startling theme that comes through. It's about comfort. There was just that, comfort. That made a difference and that is attracted. And we need to kind of relax, I don't know, or grow, definitely to grow and develop and feel secure.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right. So you got a tune now as well?
Quite a provocative one this morning for you, Mike.
Bringing out these dusty old vinyls.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah, it's a bit quirky. And of course, it's ironic. This is Trefethen. It's All Mum's Fault.
Trefethen.
Ooh.
Okay, let's check it out.
When I was young, I'd ask straight out, "Hey, Mom, what's it all about?" She'd look at me in shock and turn right red. Not till you're older, but damn it, now I'm feeling old. My sinking further and deeper into the fold. And then I have not figured out the plot. Hey, Mom, thanks a lot. You didn't tell me, so it's all your fault.
Yes, it is, it's all Mom's fault. For sure it is, it's all Mom's fault. Yes, it is, it's all Mom's fault.
Yes, it is, yes, it is, it's all Mom's fault.
say it out loud. Would you begin of a life?
Have we got another song here, mate?
we've growing up a bit, we've developed, we've moved on from Mum.
That was a bit spooky, actually.
Yeah.
That old wind-up clown in a box, what do they call it again?
Yeah, that spooky music that they play.
You wind it.
Yeah. You hear in horror films. Mike's doing the face, he's looking good.
Okay, so... what can people take away from this... What can they recognise in themselves, and then ultimately, what can you know? How can you guys help if they're recognising some of these things within their personality?
It's deliciously kind of complicated and personal and individual. And there was a bit of time there. It's also genetics nurture debate too, and that pointing to Mum. Is a powerful influence on everyone, but there are other things going on, genetics and the environment. The values that the family holds and transmit to the child are also something else that I'd like people to think about today.
Yeah.
What are their family values? And affirm them. You know, what did you really like from growing up, and what have you got now? Deliberately revisit them, because they are the things that are transmitted through the hugs and the contact and the rules and the guidance and the discipline and the food and the schooling and the money and the education. All that, in the middle of all that, is the value of what sort of human being are you.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know, depending on how things, your first 3 years have gone, you know, that has a direct effect on your sense of identity and your self-esteem and your self-worth. And it's stuff that, you know, you don't have a lot of control over in those early years. So people can be struggling in terms of how they view themselves, and how they value themselves, and how they value their input into other people's relationships or their relationships. So I guess where we can offer assistance is where people are struggling and are feeling that things aren't right for them, and that they aren't where they want to be in terms of their worth as an individual in society.
So, but people don't need to be able to put their finger on anything, specific to before they would call you guys or come and see you. They can just. It's just a general. If they just feel that they're just out of place or things aren't gelling or coming right. That's more than enough reason to come talk to you,
For sure. And often it's a specific event that might trigger, you know, that it's maybe a health event or a life event or, a tragic event that can actually leave people at a loss in terms of how to deal with it.
So in looking at that event, hopefully we can provide a fresh perspective on how to look at the event and look at what things may have created them as a person in dealing with that event. But the real positive stuff that we talk about is that you can choose how you're going to respond to future events. You can adjust even some of this deep stuff about how much you trust the planet and the world or your fellow human beings.
All right, cool. So how do people contact you? Just remind me.
Our website, www.positivelypsych.co.nz.
Yep, and all contact details are in there.
They are indeed.
And what are you doing for Christmas?
Home, family.
Family, absolutely. Yeah.
Visiting family, older family.
And getting to the beach.
Yeah, looking forward to the beach in Taranaki summer.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. All right, thanks very much. And so just remind me, you're going to be in the studio next week?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, okay.
Indeed.
All right, cool. Lovely. Hey, thanks very much.
Thank
Patrick
you, Mike.
And Kay from Positively Psyched. And we will talk to you next week. Here's River James with the My Blood.
Thank you.